Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OVS First Half 2015 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Stefano Beraldo, CEO of OVS. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to everybody. We are in Milan today, where the Fashion Week is generating a lot of traffic in town and also in our stores. Good day for this conference call. I start making some comment on the document that you have received, or you should have received yesterday evening. We start with sales. The top line of the business in the six months has been very good. This 7% has been generated both by positive like-for-like, as promised at the end of every six-month period. We will give you indication about the like-for-like performance, which in this case has been 1.6% positive on top of the +7% or something more maybe last year. It was really a difficult comparison. A good network expansion with most of the new space generated by full format DOS. Market share increase continues in a market which is still relatively weak with scattered figure. Some, according to Nielsen, the market is still negative. Some good news coming from Istat and Confcommercio saying that consumer good is positive for the third month in a row. Yesterday, we had last good figures about it. Profitability is in line with our expectation, 11 million higher than in first half 2014, which is +20%, so good operating leverage. The profitability goes to 11.1% of sales, which is 120 basis points higher compared to the same period of last year. This is driven both by sales and stable gross margin, and also by continued operating leverage and cost control. Finally, thanks to the better capital structure, lower cost of money, and also some tax structure improvement with some lower tax charge, and even much higher performance at the net result level, which is confirmed by page three, where you can see that EBITDA, the net sales are up 7.1%, EBITDA 20%, EBIT +43%, and profit before taxes goes from the negative -2 million of last year to 33 million this year. Finally, net income, 20 million versus the 14 million losses of last year. I already mentioned something about the market, which is still uncertain, but in the last month seems more and more stable and with some indication of a positive. The good news is that we have good sales performance, not only as usual from the north, which is reacting sooner to the recession and which is starting sooner historically to recover, but also from south of Italy. Positive figure from south to north. The EBITDA increase, as I said, depend from a good margin, which is not shrinking, and the other aspect that I mentioned before. I would move to page four, where you can see the net sales performance, and also the breakdown between the two brand. You can see that Upim performance is quite important in terms of relative term. Clearly, Upim is much smaller, but there is a good increase in net sales with 14.3% sales increase and a much higher contribution at EBITDA level, with EBITDA of Upim increasing by 45% and OVS by 13% when sales increased by 6.9%. So both the two brands are generating the expected contribution. We were aware that Upim last year was facing a transition period. So as I think as promised and as we were aware, Upim is on track to generate a substantial improvement for the full year. And you can see that EBITDA of this period move from 9.9% to 11.1%. At net working capital level, I think good news. The working capital structure is improving. And obviously, in this part of the season, is still impacted by the seasonality of this business, which in the first half of the year is typically absorbing some cash, and typically in the second half of the year is generating cash. But you see the structure of the working capital has improved compared to last year. At CapEx level, we are a little bit ahead of our consensus, but to the one of you that I met and Nicola met and the two Nicola met or talked with during this period, we told that because we are opening a little bit more store than expected, and also we opened a very important store in Corso Buenos Aires, which is the group flagship, which has been opened about 10 days ago with great result. We had some more capex than expected, but in line with the improvement of the number of square meter. And also the capex are impacted by this one-off amount of dedicated to completing the logistic system and operations, which is undergoing. Page 7, the consolidated cash flow statement. I would say on my side nothing particular to say. The cash flow is in line with the seasonality, so nothing special. We are in line with our expectation, and most of the net cash will be, as usual, generated in the second half. At net debt and leverage level, worthwhile to mention that during 2015, the leverage declined versus 31st of January 2015, mainly due to the proceeds of the IPO, and keeping into account the generation of cash, which will be done in the second half, we will achieve our target. Presently, the leverage is 1.9 times, and the first half cannot still reflect the full benefit of the refinancing because we refinanced after the IPO only for 5 months. So basically, in assuming a full 6 month period in the second half, there will be an even higher benefit from this. The present interest rate is 3% and will be reduced very soon due to the better
leverage
deleverage that the bank will be will see in our figures. Regarding the outlook, we do believe that the market has now stabilized. We do expect to continue to grow on a like-for-like basis. We believe that last year there has been a very difficult October because of weather conditions, which impacted very seriously the sales of that period. So it is rational, it is logic to assume that this year, with a normal weather in October, we could have an important contribution from this month. The remaining aspect of our merchandising suggests to be moderately optimistic regarding the performance of our merchandising, because we are fine with all the intake, with all the emission, we don't have delay from vendors. And even at the gross margin level, we are not assisting to the pressure that maybe some other retailer declared yesterday to suffer. Our network expansion is on track. We have opened another 18 stores since 31st of July, of which five are full format DOS. Then, as I briefly mentioned, but this is a very important element of our strategy, because could generate an important turning point for the future. We opened a few days ago the largest flagship ever in Milan, in the most important commercial area of Milan, which is Corso Buenos Aires. It's a 2,800 net sales space, by far the biggest that we have. And it was a former UPIM, which has been converted in a three floor with a great architectural impact. It has been designed by Vincenzo De Cotis, which is working with us in the last 3 years with great result. And it's beautiful. I was in London last week, and I think I haven't seen such a nice store, such an impacting store like the one that we have today in Milan. So finally, this company has a store which has two rationale. One is to compete in Italy with the best brand, which are not only able to have the better merchandising, and we hope we are competing with them in the better merchandising, but also they are able to have the better store, because either Zara and H&M, they are opening in Italy, and they opened in Italy, big flagship, and we were not able to open such a big store because we didn't have sufficient merchandising options. But 1 year ago, we started asking our team to expand the number of SKUs in order to cope with the best player also in terms of number of choices given to the customer. And the most important aspect is that for the first time, we have a full merchandising for 1,000 square meter of women, which enable us to really compete in terms of style, number of options, with the best in class at worldwide level. And this is the second reason why I wanted to have this big store. The initial sales are extremely promising, ahead of our budget. The store is full. Now at 11 o'clock, it was full with three cash open, which is the signal that it is working extremely well. And with this in mind, we also want you to know that there is maybe a higher, even if selective, focus on international expansion in certain markets, because we believe that with this new image, OVS is ready to try to be successful also out of Italy. This will be pursued with an extreme consciousness and prudence, because we don't want to enter in major capex or risky activities. But we know that we are in line to compete with the best in class, in my opinion. So that's it for my speech, and I think I can invite you to the Q&A section. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Simon Irwin of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my call. Could you just talk a little bit about gross margins in the half? Your comments on the first quarter, implied that gross margins were positive, and for the half, you're then implying that they're stable. So were they actually down in the second quarter?
No, basically, first of all, the gross margin is the result of a combination of DOS and franchising. I can break down for you on a general basis the gross margin evolution, and I can tell you that for the bulk of the revenues which are generated by directly owned full format OVS store, the gross margin is stable, and it is around 60%. For the OVS kids or the Blue Kids store, the margin is slightly increasing. And for the UPIM stores, which contribute only, I think, 15% of the sales, the margin is strongly increasing. Then I didn't calculate the mix effect given by the increase of the franchising stores, which obviously at gross margin level for the total company generate a negative impact, even if at EBITDA level is accretive, generating a positive effect. So basically, just to reiterate, this franchising effect is dilutive at gross margin level and accretive at EBITDA level. So all the combination of this result in a total company gross margin remaining stable. I don't remember exactly which was the evolution in the first Q. Maybe it was slightly positive and in the second is stable, but overall we have a first half which is the full seasonality of spring summer with a stable margin.
That's very clear, thank you. And could you also just give us store numbers and space at the end of the half?
Store number, let me look for this.
We will send to you the details of the network.
Okay, thank you very much.
We don't have in front of us the exact number, but maybe if you simply add the number that they gave you before to the former one that you should have, you achieve the goal. But we will send you a detail, and maybe if it is not clear, Perin, we can send to everybody the total number of stores.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Just one quick question on UPIM performance. Because profitability in the first semester was going up, but it seems that in the second quarter, the top line and the EBITDA growth was slowing down with margin declining versus the second quarter of last year. So I was wondering if there are any reason behind that, such as the conversion of Bernardi store, or there's some other extraordinary explanation on that. And the second question is on the raw material prices. So I'm referring to cotton and oil price, which keep decreasing. Do you think that this could generate material savings on next year's sourcing cost?
This is Nicola. I'm going for the first question. You need to consider in the profitability of UPIM in the first half 2015 also the fact that UPIM absorbed the negative 2.7 million EBITDA that last year in first half 2014 was part of the total EBITDA and was in relation with the ex Bernardi stores before conversion. So UPIM has converted these stores and all these stores now are profitable. So if you sum up the minus 2.7 million of last year, you can see that UPIM increased also in the second quarter and in total increased much more than 2.8 compared to 4.
Okay, that's clear.
Regarding the second question, it is true we are assisting to the combination of the continued deflation of the raw material. I would say also an increase of offer capacity compared to the demand. There is a clear reduction in labor inflation in China. There is the yuan depreciation. So all these elements are mitigating the currency increase. But from these mitigation factors to the opposite conclusion, to expect benefits on the intake for next year, I would say no. I'm saying that we started this year with a bigger gap to be filled in terms of currency impact for 2016. And this gap is gradually compensated by this good news on the raw material, on the labor, and on the general economic condition of the main supplier, which is China, which are reducing very much this gap to almost nil. So, in other words, this is a long way to say that I don't see the same pressure on the gross margin that was present 6 months ago, looking ahead to 2016, and to react to which I should have reshored maybe more than I could reshore today to other countries, which makes my life not easy, but let's say less difficult. So we do believe that the combination of all these elements, petrol, raw material, yuan, which are all in favor of a buyer, will generate a stable intake and consequently a stable gross margin in the future.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Riccardo Romiati of One Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, it's actually Luca Orsini with Riccardo from One Investment. And I have three questions for you. The first one, just reading your press release, you talk about the initiative on post-distribution, which now covers 40% of your assortment. And I would want you to elaborate, and you can tell us a bit more about what you're doing on post-distribution. And also, if you can tell us, you've done very well on working capital on at all levels, but just at the operational level, which is kind of, you know, the most important one in a sense. And if you can describe whether there is a link between what you're doing on post-distribution and this working capital, or the two things are working kind of in parallel. And the other question I have is, can you just run me through your FX losses and just describe the way in which they're accounted for and how, you know, how we should look at this line in the future as well?
Well, on the first question, I can tell you that the most material effect is that the initial visibility of sell-through for the first weeks of this 40% post-distribution are extremely encouraging. And as of now, we are looking at through 2-3% sell-through increase on the items which are under the post-distribution methodology.
What is this post-distribution methodology, if I can ask?
Yeah, it refers to the fact that it's a pull. Basically, instead of having 100% push on the items which are post-distributed, we have a pull. So basically, 40% refers to the amount of pull once the remaining 60% is pushed to the store since the very beginning of the emissions. Is it clear?
So essentially, you are 40% of your reassortment are based on the pool system.
Okay, you can say in that way. Yeah.
Thank you. And is that the reason why the working capital is better, or is that just too early to say? Or the working capital was going better even without this?
I would say I think it's too early now. We expect, obviously, from this system, which is generating the good initial result that I'm mentioning, we expect a contribution in better rotation. So at the end of the story, in lower markdown, lower stock at the end. But the effect on this working capital refers, because the working capital we are referring to is at July, it's a combination of different aspects which refers to supplier. We decided to pay supplier a little bit earlier to have a better condition. So it's a mix of situation. I wouldn't say it is mainly impacted by one specific item. Is a management of working capital which refers to all the components. And also, obviously, the better operation and distribution, which also we made in the first half, is contributing to this. On the last question, maybe, Nicola,
yeah,
you can have a better answer.
If I understand correct, Forex exchange impact on P&L. On the first half of 2015, we have on total a positive impact on Forex. Probably you can see on the press release in the methodologic note that there is a 8.6 million income, so positive effect, due to the fair market value of the 450 million hedge account that we have on hand. These 8.6 million we are not including in the net profit and the PBT profit because we consider this amount as non-recurring and is due to the fluctuation of the US dollar exchange rate versus euro, so we cannot predict in the next quarter for this year how much will be. In this moment we have again 450 million US dollar hedged at better value than the market.
Okay, so if the market stays like this, you will have an FX gain from hedging.
Yes.
Good. Thanks a lot.
Because I cannot say in the future how much will be.
Everyone will want to know that. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Tushar Jain of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my question. Two simple questions. Just wanted to understand, in terms of your flagship store, is it kind of a one-off, or you would be accelerating the store rollout of flagship stores in Italy, given the size is roughly more than twice that of your average store? And second question is, in women's wear, I mean, you know, it's, I think the third quarter you have seen kind of a good acceleration and assortment. Just wondering how sustainable is that? What kind of things you are doing to improve the women's wear? Thank you.
Well, on the flagship number, we are looking for a second flagship in Rome. But as of now, we still have not identified the right space. So there will be other flagship. I hope the first will be in Rome. There could be a third flagship in another big Italian city. We are closely monitoring the result of this first tour to understand our capacity to continue to do this. And for the moment, that's it. Regarding the woman performance, woman is doing well, is continuing doing well. In the last three semester, woman is overperforming men and kids. The reason for this is that the team is entering and understanding more and more how to manage the mix of fashion unpredictability and cost and sourcing effectiveness. I'm very happy with the team and with the improvement also in the flexibility that the vendors are giving us. And so I expect still a good result from the woman that has lost most, has been the responsible for most of the losses in the former years, both because the competitors in Italy were very aggressive, but also because we were less efficient and less performing than we deserved to be. Now with the team that we have in place and with the I do believe, I do see in the market a less aggressive competitive environment in the woman, because several brands that tried to penetrate the market didn't perform well as they expected. I assume that the combination of these factors joined with the image that the company is having now, we are about to go on air with an ADV, a TV ADV that will be, I believe, very attractive. I believe that there are solid reasons why to expect that a woman can continue to perform well.
Got it. And just a clarification, your gross margin achieved on womenswear would be higher than your group average. Is that fair to say?
I would say the opposite. The gross margin in a woman was weaker in the past compared to men and kid, mostly because of the need to make higher markdown than in the kids. And this is normal life. So this you cannot have a different result, because the woman must do, or at least my view is that the woman must do also a certain number of fashion items. And on the, when you make fashion item, you risk more, and you have also to be ready to mark down more. The good news is that the combination of the improvement in operations and the much better performance of the team, qualitatively speaking, is reducing the gap of the woman gross margin versus men and kids to a few points, a couple of basis points. So there has been a very good improvement in sell-through in the woman and in the woman good margin, gross margin.
Got it. Great. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Simon Irwin of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi. Could we just go over a bit of housekeeping? What's your expectation for the full-year tax rate, given that it was about 40% in the first half?
I asked Nicola to answer to this question.
You cannot take the first half tax rate as a full year tax rate, because as you probably know, in Italy there is this IRAP tax on earning before tax and interest plus personnel. With the new legislation IRAP, this the base of this tax has been reduced. We are not accounting as revenues the cost of personnel, so we are improving. But again, there is a sort of seasonality impact on this. So for a full year, we can confirm that it will be around 32-33% on profit before tax. We are also having some positive news from the ACE, the tax, the legislation that you can deduct a part of the interest because the IPO. So probably we will see some better tax rate, but this is something that we are working on it.
Okay. And what happened to net interest in 2Q? It appears so your net interest was 7.6 million in 1Q and 6.9 in the first half. So what happened in 2Q?
Oh, we are improving the interest cost in the second half because the seasonality of the net financial position, and also because there will be 6 months with the new cost of a loan. So what we can say is our expectation is to be in line with the average consensus on financial cost.
Sorry,
roughly you can take the first half, deduct 6 million for the first month, and then you have an average cost per month.
Yeah, but the second quarter you appeared to have net interest income.
No, positive.
Well,
you mean?
Your net financial result in 1Q was 7.6 million loss.
Yeah.
Your net financial result in the first half was 6.9. Therefore, the net financial results in the second quarter appears to be 0.7 million income.
Yeah, but this is due to the forex exchange rate, forex exchange impact. As I already explained, is let me say a sort of not one-off, but something that it's happening in the second quarter, and then you need to go through the notes of the half-year financial results, and you will see the component of a financial cost and profit for aging and forex exchange.
Right, and where do we find that? Because I couldn't see it in last night's press release.
No, you can. It's in our website.
Right.
The full report on our website from yesterday evening.
Right, and could you could also just talk about CapEx in that obviously first half CapEx was rather higher than full year expectations, and but it's presumably, you know, you talked about the new store in Milan and space, but presumably those are things you all knew about in, you know, the beginning of the year. So
we never gave indication of the CapEx expected at half year. So I don't think we can make a comment on a different CapEx compared to the one that we assume to have at half year. We only gave an indication in the beginning of the year that our plan for the total year was to have about 50, 55 million of CapEx. Then each of you guys decided which number to include in your research. I'm simply saying that because we are opening some more store than expected, and obviously they will generate some EBITDA because we try to open store that will make EBITDA. And because we have this flagship, which costed a little bit more than the normal store, and then there is this logistic one-off investment, there is some more million of CapEx, but you could say few million, not double digit, few millions. So you could say that I don't remember your research, but you can say that maybe 2-3 million, 4 million more. I don't know.
So what was consensus CapEx for the full year?
The consensus CapEx. Well, I manage the company and don't manage exactly the consensus, so I have to look for it. I ask my.
Think the consensus is around 52-55.
Okay. Right, that's great. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Well, I think that unless there is a last question, our schedule should suggest that the meeting should be completed.
Excuse me, we have a question from Paul Rossington of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gents. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning. I just have a quick question about a comment you made earlier on competition. I think if I understood correctly, you said that you felt that the competitive environment was perhaps easing in Italy. Did I misunderstand that, or could you perhaps clarify what you meant by that statement in terms of competition easing in the domestic market?
Yeah, no, you understood correctly. In this market, there were several players that were extremely aggressive. Some of them today are less aggressive. This is what I wanted to mean. And particularly, we are looking at a less aggressive behavior from people like Mango, for instance, which is maybe changing a little bit their strategy. They look for being present in men, in kids, in big stores, and apparently they are kind of less aggressive in the real field where they are good competitors, which is the woman. So one of the best woman brand, I see less aggressive than it was. Similarly to Benetton, which is less aggressive than in the past. So still they are considering to reduce their network and focusing on only on the better store. This gives us room to open new stores or to work with former Benetton franchisees, which are looking for the efficiency and the strength of our kids. Then obviously there are aggressive players like H&M and Zara, which are as aggressive as they have been since ever. But I mentioned the biggest four competitors, and two of them are less aggressive than in the past. This is what I want to mean. And also on the point of view of the Italian competitors, for different reasons, we do not see the second biggest Italian company called Piazza Italia as aggressive in opening new store as they have been up to 6 months ago.
That is brilliant. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you to everybody.
Thank you to everybody, and have a nice rest of the day. Thank you.